Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. The following interview talks about suicide. For those who may be triggered by this topic, you may not want to listen. Sue Glover lost her son David to suicide. Teresa Rickerby lost a nephew. Out of the deep pain, the two joined together to create Tattoos for Trauma. It was a way of honoring him, and it was a way to help others. In this interview, you will hear the tragic story of loss become transformed into a family-oriented community event to raise money for the Northumberland Warming Room. It is a moving story. I'm really glad to have with me today Sue Glover and Teresa Rickerby, co-founders of Tattoos for Trauma. Welcome to you both to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Let's get really basic to start. What is Tattoos for Trauma? Sue, let's start with you.
Tattoos for Trauma is a men's mental health fundraiser started by myself and my sister to honor my son, David, who we lost to suicide in August of 2020.
Teresa, can you give us a little bit more to the story of how it started?
Sure. After we lost David, obviously it took a really long time to be functional. And we had a special moment at Sue and Dave's home, actually, around the kitchen table, or just a month and a half, maybe 4 to 6 weeks after David passed. David's very best friend, almost like his brother Robin, who's a tattoo artist, came over to Sue and Dave's house, and he had drawn a beautiful likeness of David, his face, his shape of his face with his tattoos. And he tattooed Sue and Dave with that very special memorial tattoo at the kitchen table. And he tattooed myself with a heartogram, which was a symbol that was really important to David. And that was a really profound and emotional experience for all of us, I think, that evening. It was David's dad's very first tattoo.
And his last.
Yeah, and his last. And yeah, we talked about it then that evening, that Tattoos for Trauma was really born that night, but it did take a few years, right, Sue, to be able to...
2 years later, on a July morning, Teresa and I were talking and said, you know, Teresa said to me, I know this is hard, but if we're going to do this, we have to do it. And I said, you're absolutely right. And we launched. It was hard. It 2 years didn't feel like enough, but it also felt right.
So that was in 2022. In July, like Sue said, we decided that we wanted to actually take our thoughts and our what we had wanted, how we had wanted to honor David, and actually put it into action. So we, in 2 months, we pulled together the very first Tattoos for Trauma event.
I still don't know how.
Can you just elaborate a little bit more on the significance of tattoos? There could have been so many things you chose to do as a fundraiser to honor David. What was it about tattoos that makes this so special for both of you? I'll start back with Sue again.
Well, for me as David's mother, David had a lot of tattoos. And the more difficult David's life became, the more prominent and visible David's tattoos became. And it was a struggle for me because I could see that his tattoos were a reflection of pain, but I was unable to find out I could not figure out what the source of that pain was. And when David took his own life and we sat at that kitchen table with that picture, I, for first of all, for the first time, really understood what David's tattoos meant to him. It was a profound moment for me. I understood the link between tattoos and trauma and the story they tell, be it one of rebirth, be it one of pain. Tattoos are living art and tell people's story. And I realized that the connection between tattoos and trauma was real. And for us, that was how the name and how the entire idea was born.
Teresa, what was the significance of David's tattoos to you?
Well, for us, I was David's aunt, so I had a bit of a different perspective in regards to his tattooing than like his parents might, right? I'm a little bit more removed in that way. And I always loved David's creativity and his art and with his tattooing. I wanted to mark myself with something that he had on his body, just as a way of staying even more connected with him. My children also got a tattoo, my two oldest. So Dylan, my son, got David's a copy of David's very first tattoo. And my daughter also got a tattoo that David had as well. And it's just a way for us to permanently connect ourselves with him in that way and share in his creative process too.
Yeah.
Teresa, why is men's mental health so important an issue in our community?
Well, Rob, we know that mental health resources are limited for people in general, but specifically for men. 75% of all suicides in Canada are completed by men. There is an overwhelming stigma around men and mental health and the ability to talk about deep emotional trauma, and even just acknowledging that for men. We have, you know, it's 2023, but we're still trying to get past that whole man up kind of stigma that we're fighting against. And we see it here in our own community with those that are struggling, and they're predominantly men that we're seeing that are struggling.
Sue, you mentioned in your press release that it is a need for street level support. Can you explain what you mean by that, street level support?
Yeah, we're talking about meeting the immediate needs of people in crisis in a real and everyday kind of way, you know, food, shelter, basic resources to provide a person with a restart. You know, it's wonderful to talk about going to rehab, for instance, or registering for a program. But what happens to a person between the point where they recognize the need for support and are actually able to access it? And that's the gap we're looking to fill.
It was really interesting, some of the terminology you used, respite for those most in need. What does that mean as well? When you talk about respite, we don't always think of that for people in these situations. Can you help us?
Yeah, respite is really overcoming challenge and meeting needs in times of challenge. And you're right, Rob, like we hear about respite for seniors. We hear about respite for maybe people with developmental difficulties. But we don't think of respite when it comes to maybe people experiencing homelessness or people experiencing mental health crisis. So, I mean, respite is just a word that applies to so many different people, but we've just sort of categorized it. Most often when we look at those who are in need in our community, they are struggling with homelessness right now. That's very visible for our community. Many are struggling with addictions and of course, mental health crisis. And almost all of that relates back to trauma.
You are raising money for the Northumberland Warming Hub. Can you tell us a bit about why you picked this organization to raise money for? Sue, could you help us?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the idea that we want to provide street level support. And certainly when we look out to our community right now, you know, housing first, the need is pretty glaring and pretty obvious. People need shelter, and people need respectful shelter that provides the basic needs. And that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to support the county with a warming hub in ensuring that the hours maybe get extended, that there's a food program, and depending how much money we raise, maybe even a laundry program, the truly basic essentials of life.
I'm sure the listeners would like to learn a little bit more about David, since he's seminal to this project. What can you share about his life?
David, Sue and Dave's only son. They're a family of three, and which is why last year we had a triangle tattoo, because it's the strongest shape. It's an important, it's also the number three number, and it's very important to them. So they're a very close family. David was a creative kid, a wonderful kid with lots of good friends. He experimented with drugs like a lot of teens do in his early teenage years. And, you know, moved away to the city and was doing well. And then, you know, he did start to have some struggles with anxiety and depression, and with drug use. And, you know, addiction takes a hold of your life. And Sue and Dave were just incredibly supportive parents. And I think that's really important to note, because I feel like sometimes people think, like when they see kids struggling, they think, oh, they don't have anyone at home who loves them, or they don't have access to this or that. David always had a place to go. And he had a family that loved him very much. But the shame sometimes, I think, that comes with people who are struggling is hard for kids to overcome. So David also was an advocate for those most in need. He was such a deep thinker. He was so intelligent. He was a huge movie buff and music fan, very creative. He had a fabulous voice and was making music as well. Strong network of friends too in the city. Again, a lot of creative folk. During COVID, I mean, that was a really dark time. He saw the city shut down. And I think there was a real sense of hopelessness there for him. He was experiencing housing insecurity. He didn't know where he was going to be living. And, you know, David ended his own story. He made a decision. He was very clear-minded, we believe, at the time. There was no drugs in his system. There was no alcohol. Nothing. And it's just so tragic. And that's why it's so important for us to honor him, because he was truly a bright light. And he had a lot of friends that also feel the way that he did. And there's a lot of young people out there. So
yeah, as David's mom, I mean, I had a little boy who was a bit insecure, and a seemingly everyday little guy. And when he was in high school, he started drinking, and alcohol was David's first addiction, was alcohol. And that started in the teenage years with drinking with his friends, and it simply progressed. As David was living in the city and living life more on the edge, we were connected at all times. I drove into city Toronto in a whirlwind of worry many a time, in record-breaking time, I assure you. We spent a lot of time together, and I could never understand what was going on with David. I couldn't understand what was wrong. And it's not like we weren't conversing about it. What's wrong? What's going on? Talk to me. I was looking at every possible angle for how he wasn't feeling okay with himself. And I could never find sort of the linchpin, what was going on. And about a month before, when David was home visiting, a month before he took his own life, he finally came out to me that he had been sexually abused as a child, and further had experienced a violent rape as an adult. Obviously, as a parent, I was completely and utterly devastated. And I myself actually am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So this was, in fact, my worst nightmare, literally my worst nightmare, and something I had been quite vigilant about, actually, as a parent, unfortunately, as a result of my own trauma. The fact that David was never able to come to me with that was really difficult for me. But interestingly, as a survivor myself, I understood why David couldn't come to me with that. I understood the deep level of darkness and shame. And needless to say, I immediately launched into trying to find support for him because I realized the crisis was way bigger than I had ever even imagined. And that's when I realized that there basically was no help for a sexually abused man, and particularly an adult. There was nobody willing to even allow him to walk in the door of the facility because men are abusers, not victims. And I mean, I was desperate. I was calling that TV show Intervention. Like I was crazed. Unfortunately, David was not open to pursuing anything with me in that moment. It was Mad Max in downtown Toronto, literally. Encampments were being torn up. David was housed at the time, but was in an insecure housing situation. He was now addicted to drugs, and he knew it. And he was full of pride and full of a whole bunch of things, and not one of them was hope in that moment. And as Teresa said, he did choose to take his own life completely stone cold sober, and broke the heart of our entire family. And we decided, and we knew as soon as this happened, that we were going to do something to make a difference and something to carry David's light forward and help other people. And also to help other parents and family members who are dealing quietly behind closed doors with the exact same deep depths of stress, anxiety, grief, and love for their child in crisis. So Tattoos for Trauma was born of this, and I started as well a Better Together support group for parents of teenagers and adult children in crisis, because not doing that alone is so important, and making sure there's community for people trying to support the people they love and access resources is so important. And so here I am today telling this story, and I sure wish I wasn't.
All right, we're going to shift gears. If I'm a listener and I want to participate in this, how do I do that? Teresa, maybe we'll go with you.
All right, thanks, Rob. Yeah, we're really excited. There's a few different ways you can participate. So first of all, we encourage everyone to follow along at Tattoos for Trauma on both Instagram and Facebook. There's a Facebook event created as well as a nice reminder to save the date. People can participate by booking an appointment to get one of our 9 tattoos that all come with significance. There is going to be a wonderful barbecue happening on site, as well as an awesome prize table, fantastic prizes already coming forward from the community. We all have temporary tattoos for people who don't want something permanent, or for the kids. It's a family-friendly event. We do encourage all ages to come and join us. It's also a safe space of shared experience, and that's really important for people to realize and understand. And then we have people who want to make a donation just because they want to support the cause, and tattoos for trauma 1991 at gmail.com is the email, and you can make a donation there. And then we have a ton of sponsorship opportunities as well.
I was going to say, as I'm super excited about the resources.
Yes.
So, for instance, being able to bring Gatehouse from Toronto, which is the longest standing organization supporting survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And they have full and comprehensive programs for men as well. And those programs are offered in Toronto or via Zoom. I myself have gone through their entire three-stage program. It's absolutely wonderful. And it was just really important to me to find resources for men and boys in our community. And the executive director will be joining us at the event. And we've got all kinds of wonderful resources that are going to be on site for people experiencing crisis and their families. Wonderful supports for children, for men in crisis, like I said, Gatehouse, and the other one was a local guy who's running a charity for men as well, whose name I cannot remember.
Ryan Upturn. Huffman.
Upturn.
Yeah.
The Upturn program, for example.
Now, if I go to your Facebook page or any of the resources that you guys have shared with me today, I would notice that this isn't going to take place until September. Why are we talking now about this? Is there a date coming up that's significant now?
Well, we're talking now because we sold out last year, Rob, and obviously you can understand it's a big undertaking. So, and time goes by quickly. So we don't want to wait to the last minute. We're opening tattoo bookings on July 15th. We do expect to sell out. We are going to be booking 150 tattoos for this year's event. We are working with 8 artists. 7 of them are local. We do have an artist coming in from Kitchener who wants to support the event. And we're talking about it now because we need to be talking. We should be talking about it every day and raising awareness. The core values of Tattoos for Trauma is to raise awareness, build community, and provide support. And in order to do that, we've got to get the message out, which is why we're so grateful to you for doing this interview with us, so we can share the message and try to get as many people as possible to join us that day.
I'd like to talk for just a moment about the organization itself. Is it just the two of you, or is how are you guys organized, Tattoos for Trauma?
We are a two-woman machine.
All right. And are you a registered charity? In other words, do you issue tax receipts for any of this?
No, we are simply a special event, that a fundraising event that raises money for another charity or organization.
So to speak, I was just going to say, to speak to the ability to get a receipt so we do work with charitable organizations, like Sue was saying. Last year, Greenwood Coalition was able to provide receipts for our larger sponsors and anyone who really wanted them through their organization. We have also have an agreement with the Northumberland County, and they do have a third party fundraising protocol. So we are able to provide receipts through the county. So everything is very closely monitored. We operate Tattoos for Trauma with an incredible amount of integrity and transparency.
Yeah.
Going forward, what's the timeline? What should we keep our eye on if people are listening and are interested in this?
So the dates to remember: tattoo bookings open July 15th. And to reiterate, the event, Tattoos for Trauma 2023, Saturday, September the 9th at the Coburg Lions Community Center on Elgin Street from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There will be live music. All kinds of resources, temporary tattoos, tattooing happening all day in the same space. So when people come to this event, you're right in the thick of it. That's great. Got the music happening, tattooing is being done. It's really cool. Last year, I think we had someone in their 80s get tattooed last year.
87 was 87. The oldest tattoo. Yeah.
And the youngest person who can be tattooed is 16. And anyone between the ages of 16 and 18 must have parental consent.
Parent on site.
Parent on site, yeah. And it just really is such a lovely event. So September 9th is the day, and put it in your calendar. You don't want to miss it.
Sue Glover, Teresa Rickaby, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. Take care.
That was Sue Glover and Teresa Rickaby, co-founders of Tattoos for Trauma. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.